I'm Kevin Middleton.
And I'm Samantha Berg. And this is The Bridge to Everywhere. Welcome to The Bridge to Everywhere. Join us as we explore health, community, and culture from a holistic perspective. Health topics addressed on our show are for information and entertainment and should not be taken as medical advice. If you have a medical condition, please consult an appropriate care provider.
Hello, everyone. Good evening. This is Kevin, and I'm here in the studio with Samantha, and our guest tonight is Antika Livi. And she's a personal coach and a good friend of ours, and she's a phenomenal yoga teacher as well. We've known her for a lot of years, and we're really delighted to have you on the show tonight. We're going to talk about your work as a personal coach, but there's so much more we want to get into as well.
Personal transformational coach, I think, is what she goes by. But yeah. I'm going to just read a brief introduction, and then we'll talk a little bit about where Antika is at, what she's up to, and how she got to where she is. So is that something fun?
Yes.
Okay, great. Awesome. So Antika is a Christian-based personal transformation coach. She teaches in a Christian context, but shares a perspective that is universally accessible to everyone, regardless of religious tradition. In this show, we'll explore the Trinity within us all, our physical, vibrational, and divine connection that together form the ultimate foundation for health, happiness, and a powerful confidence in ourselves and the world in which we live. So, hi, Antika. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks, you guys, for having me.
So, we know Antika. We met Antika as a yoga instructor back when you opened. What year did you open Twist Yoga on Main Street in Wasilla?
2005, and I think I met you 2006.
2006, right. So we went to the yoga studio on Main Street in Wasilla until you closed it, and I think 2009 is when you ran it for 3 years. Yeah. So that's how we came to know Antika was through her work as a yoga teacher. And you are the only yoga teacher in the state who's actually certified to teach the 500-hour level course, except for or Lynn Mitten, I think, is the other one. Is that correct?
I am not sure anymore.
Oh, okay.
Like, I was for a long time, the only one with an RYS 500 school, and now, but I'm still an ERYT 500.
Yeah. So, but the work that you're doing now is it a company called Divinely You? Is that what it goes?
Yeah. So my company is Divinely You, and it incorporates everything from Twist Yoga and the walk through Twist Yoga. And what really happened when I closed the larger studio is I decided that I wanted to take the course I was training teachers to teach and really make it small and compact and transformational. So I started working with smaller groups, which you've been in those classes too, with about 7 and 8 people, where I can get my hands on everybody in class, and it's like a mini private instead of, 20 people in class or 50, which we never could fit in the little space at Twist. But yeah, so then I took it online, and that was 2 years ago.
So tell us a little bit about what kind of, if somebody was interested in working with you, the kind of work that you do, what's the process that they go through, and what's the type of client that you're looking for? Who's your ideal client to do the work that you do?
Who's my ideal client? Well, my ideal client is really somebody who is seeking mastery in the sense of spiritual enlightenment and spiritual awakening, and that's really challenging for me to say because for a long time I wanted it to be somebody else. But when I really look at my great clients like yourselves that have stuck around for a long time, most of us are seeking that total unification with God. And we're also seeking to, my ideal client is they want to fully embody that while walking here on the planet. And I know that's pretty deep, but it's just what it is. And what I've learned from childhood to adult, just my own walk, like God seated me to do this. And what I've learned is that our physical body has so much wisdom, as you guys know, as acupuncturists, and it's just filled, lined with wisdom. And yoga is one way that we can ourselves have that power to like go in and find that wisdom ourselves. And that wisdom, I believe, is really from source or from God. And then we have, that's one tool. And then we have the next tool, which is our vibration or our thought patterns. And those thought patterns turn into waves. And there's the whole, physics behind that and how like we're on the radio right now, these wavelengths, how they work and how intention happens. And so studying that in meditation is really important. And then my teacher has always been Christ. And, I had to just finally one day just pick a path and like stick to it. And through that, Jesus has just taught me how he's capable of crossing all barriers.
I love that because, there are some people that are a little hesitant to merge Christianity and yoga and think that somehow they're incompatible. And that's just never been an obstacle for you. You've done a beautiful job of integrating that and really making it accessible to everyone and really not. And so the Christianity really is speaking to a universal language as you're sort of incorporating into your work. Yeah. I've always appreciated that. And I'm also reading a book called Jesus Lived in India. And it's a German scholar who wrote this book and did an enormous amount of research.
And yeah, between 15 and 30, right?
Yeah. And really, there's a lot of research showing that a man named Issa, ISSA, that's how he's referred to in India, has very much the same storyline of Jesus and highly revered. And Jesus is actually highly revered, in India at this time.
He is. For me, I've had to really soul search. Another reason why I closed down the main studio is because God was asking me to like turn and look at me. And I spent 4 years pretty much, I got isolated from the world, which was a blessing. But at the time, it was really painful. And I studied the Yoga Sutras in the Bible and did a comparison and had all the teachers that I trained to teach yoga at the time do the same thing. So I got to read theirs. And what I found is, yes, like there is some religion in all of it, all those, in all of it. And even our Christian own religion has so many different denominations. It's pretty much ritual. But the fundamentals just line up. And what you focus your mind on, that mind power again, what you focus your attention on is what's really powerful and what's really important. So I teach people and I speak, my language is to focus on Christ. And I have people that are, of all different faiths that come to my classes, and they just know that when I say Christ, they can change it in their mind if that feels right to them. But
right, I'm
going to teach from
Jewish, Buddhist-ish.
Yeah. I don't want to call you out.
Right. No, that's fine.
I teach from that. That's my language. So it makes it very easy for me to communicate with Christians.
And yoga is not a religion, and I think that's where some of the confusion comes in. I think there's some people that think yoga is a type of religion, and it's really yoga. The way what you're doing is you're teaching different postures. It's just
right.
It's hatha yoga. It's not. It's part of a path towards enlightenment, but it's not in it of itself a religion. So it's not like because you have a particular religious belief system that precludes you from doing yoga.
Right.
And I think that's one of the things that Antika is really good about is being inclusive. So that's my experience in your class. It's like everybody's welcome in the class. It's not an exclusive type of yoga that you're offering. It's really open to everyone, and the philosophical underpinning with what you teach is Christian, but it doesn't make it, it actually opens it to everyone. It doesn't close things off.
Yeah, after about 12 years probably of teaching asana, I couldn't separate the need to teach people how to focus on something. And I tried to do love and, all like the classic, like it's cool. You can say it, things. And God just kept pressing on my heart, no, that's not why you're here. And now, hindsight's 20/20. I look back and I'm like, of course not. Like, I'm here to teach about the Trinity. And I had to walk through that. But
And can you say about the Trinity, what that means?
Yeah, what it is. So the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, what God has really shown me is the Father is more a relationship of like the seed of our soul, basically. So I explain it kind of backwards, and you could go either way, but I really feel like the Father is that seed, or our own particular soul, our individuality, okay? And our personal relationship with that, and that encompasses our thought patterns, our mind, what we set our emotions on, what we want out of life, and aligning that with God is extremely important because Well, I think that we're enlightening. I think we have a place to go. We have a mission here and to accomplish that. And then the Son, which would be Jesus, is the flesh. You know, and everything physical. So having a relationship not only with your own flesh and your own body and knowing yourself, but also really taking and mindfully picking and choosing what kind of things you have around you, you know, especially food today in this day and age. Like, that's a whole different subject, but food. Mm-hmm. And also what you have around in your house. And then the Holy Spirit is that energy that just encompasses us all. And another way of saying it is just Christ consciousness. It's just everywhere. It's in everything. It's just life, you know, prana.
And it's not personal.
Like, and it's
the
not
same.
Personal.
I always say the light that's coming out of your eyes is the same as the light that's coming out of my eyes. It's the same thing.
Right.
When I, you know, from fundamentally, when I'm looking at you, I'm looking at me. It's that recognition that it's all one.
Yeah.
So how is that received? I mean, this is more, you know, more or less an increasingly secular culture where higher spiritual aspirations and values aren't necessarily given a whole lot of weight and maybe even not considered to be even that real for many, many people, especially, you know, when a lot of people are looking at ideas of religion that are steeped in myth and superstition that are hard to relate to given what we know about science and reality. Just with a rational mind and understanding of the world. So it's just an interesting time and a challenging time to really lead and take a stand for spiritual values in contemporary culture. How is that going?
You know what? Doors open all the time, like being here. But it's a walk for me, too. So I wanted to do it the easy way. A lot of times, and I tried to just teach yoga for a while, and I tried to just do nutrition and nutrition coaching and, like, being a coach, because a lot of my coaches and my mentors said, you know, there aren't spiritual teachers. Like, you shouldn't do that. That's not a good way to make money. Don't do certain. And what I realized is, you know what, I haven't really made much money anyway. You know, for 3 years teaching at Twist, I worked constantly. I paid my teachers great, but I got pedicures every 2 weeks, you know, like that was my pay. So this is really my seva or service.
Sacred service.
You know, my sacred service. And, you know, I am completely and totally taken care of by source in other ways. And so I feel like I get paid, you know, like it's recognition. Sometimes it's hard to see that, but I've learned how to do that. And so how is it going is a big question because, like, you know, is it booming? No. What I see in the future and what God's placed in my heart is it's going to be huge. I'm learning how to speak my truth and really run my business the way that I know how, because God's telling me how and not listening to the experts anymore.
So this is an interesting thing. I mean, because it sounds like you're really able to step back and sort of wait for direction, and you're not, and I mean, not like you're not arguing. I mean, it sounds like you certainly are having, I don't want to do that. You have to do that. I don't want to do that. You have to do that. But so.
But I hear also a surrender.
Right.
You know,
There's
a surrender.
You're constantly surrendering. Yeah. But that doesn't mean I don't.
Sure.
Fight the surrender.
So let's just kind of go back a little bit and talk about, you know, where you were, like, when did you decide to be a yoga teacher, and just a little bit about your personal journey, like how you got to being where you are. So where you started, like how old were you when you thought you might want to be a yoga teacher, and then how that got to where you are now, and then some of that, how you were able to start listening, because a lot of people don't even take the time to even listen.
Right.
They just sort of go. And so, and sometimes the message has to be so loud, you know, like, and I mean, like, you know, a car accident or a cancer diagnosis or something in order to hear it. So talk to us about that.
So I'm laughing right now because this is what God told me I was going to talk about tonight. So, this is my truth. When I was 7 years old, I just, I remember, like, I just saw God, you know, like, I just have always, like, that's the first cognitive time I remember, like, I've just, you know, hung out with God, like, I have, and that's just is how it is. And when I was 11, I was abused most of my childhood. When I was 11, I had a pretty horrific event that changed, you know, 10 minutes can change your entire reality. And I talked all about that last year, so it's null and void. But what it did was really like send my body and me into complete chaos, where I had to learn how to lean into God and really trust that. I basically retreated to a place in my brain of meditation and prayer. And my physical like interactions with people were kind of whatever happened. Now, along with that, I had a bad disease with celiac disease, and it affects me biochemically, a lot of people in my family as well. And so it kind of makes me a little confused. So I was dealing with that when I was a teenager and acting out and being angry. And then when I was 21, I got cancer. And that really made me heal my body and connect back with Earth and, like, get into my skin again. And before that, when I was 18, I started teaching yoga. When I was 13, I started studying the chakras. I was listening to Carolyn Mace, you know, when I was 13, 14 years old when she first came out. I had the tapes.
The
Energy
Anatomy.
Cassettes.
So we should, so for our listeners who don't know, Carolyn Mace is one of the pioneers in energy medicine. Mm-hmm. She didn't even know actually that she could do, that she was a medical intuitive. And I forget Norm.
What
was it? I can't remember his. Yeah, it's right there.
It's Norm. Everybody knows Norm.
Yeah, but so she was coached through a teacher, and she ended up becoming, you know, a world famous medical intuitive, and now she's got books and CDs. And before they were CDs, they were tapes, and we did listen to those. And then when you say you're working with the chakras, those are the energy centers in the body.
Yeah,
and
part of the Ayurvedic Indian medicine. Yeah.
Yeah, and they really, you know, work into Christianity and especially the Catholic faith, which is what I was raised with. So it was pretty, it's just awesome. And Carolyn speaks from a Catholic perspective, which made me young just really get into it and not have that fear around yoga and the chakras. So Kundalini yoga got me into, my mom taught yoga. So Kundalini yoga, I started really doing.
So you started out with Kundalini yoga.
I guess I started out with Iyengar, but yeah, Kundalini was like mine.
So what is Kundalini yoga?
So you're working with your energy field, basically. You do asana. The type that I did, we did asana. It was a lot more meditation. We focused on the chakras. Most of it was like color wheels and like seeing chakras
and tell and people what's asana, just define that word.
Asana is the postures that you do in a yoga class. They're the physical motions, movements that you do in a yoga class. Yeah.
So you're working with the Kundalini yoga. You're working with the energies in your body while you're doing the poses.
Yeah,
and what is that energy doing? As I understand it, in the Indian yogic tradition, they call them nadis, the very subtle pathways of energy that reinforce the function of organs and tissues in the body. And
yeah, it's exactly what you do all day. When I go to you, I think I'm going to go get my nadis worked on. You call them meridians, but whatever,
and
we can call them. Right.
And I
believe in here, we call them, you know, connective tissue. If you go to the regular doctor.
Or fascia. If you go to the Rolfer. You know, it's fun to look at.
It's just language.
Somebody on their Facebook page just posted a picture from Alex Gray. Do you know his work? Yeah. Alex, you need to go and look him up after this.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
No, he did the anatomy books. Yeah.
And Alex Gray incorporates the chakras and the nadis and the meridians. And this
picture. I have this huge book upstairs.
These extraordinary
he's amazing.
Graphic
and this,
images.
Yeah, the image that I saw on somebody's Facebook page today was an image of a woman giving birth with all of that, with
those
all of that
energetic channels all being illustrated. Yeah.
It was incredible.
I think I can picture that picture. Yeah, I have his book upstairs. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. I just didn't go there at first. Mm-hmm. So I got really into that, and then at 18 I started studying Hatha yoga, and I just got deeper into it, kind of apprenticed, and then I started teaching fitness and stuff, and then I got cancer. And
what kind of cancer?
I had cervical, so and I treated it naturally, a lot of meditation, a lot of funky green herbs,
French green clay,
and like this black sludge stuff. I drank. I was totally vegan. I mean, it was like a year of healing, because I was against the, it was given to me by, not to get political, but it was given to me by Planned Parenthood, who also killed my best friend by giving us the Norplant when we were underage and would refuse to take it out. Ha ha, say that too. And And so it was a huge healing. But before that, I couldn't have kids. And after I had cancer, I was able to have two beautiful
babies. And you
have
two gorgeous kids.
Yeah. So cancer was a huge blessing. And then at 24, I went to Bikram training. And that's when my teaching yoga stopped being like a hobby that I kind of did and became my career. And I had adrenal failure and thyroid failure at that point in my life. And it was either tons of medicine or go study with Rajashri. And so I went to Rajashri.
And so tell us about...
Yeah, where's Rajashri?
Rajashri is Bikram's wife. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And so tell us about what
it's a person, not a place. This is some exotic place in India where
you're right. This is a 9-week course where you're doing 2 hour and a half Bikram sessions per day, along with all of the other things that you're learning to do the Bikram.
So
it's pretty intense. I mean, just going through that, finishing that 9-week course, even if you never become a teacher, that's yoga boot camp on a whole other level.
Yeah. It saved my life, though. Mm-hmm.
You're listening to The Bridge to Everywhere. We're interviewing Antika Libby, who owns Divinely You. She's a personal transformation coach. And we're just talking about the work that she's doing and a little bit of the history of how she's gotten to where she is. Go ahead.
So, yeah, we have a minute or two before we go on break. So I just want to get a little bit more of what your experience was like working with Bikram. And Bikram, for those people who don't know, Bikram he's the hot yoga style. The Anchorage Yoga does Bikram style. I think they are actually a real Bikram yoga studio.
They are.
Yeah, but it's a very different style of yoga than what most people associate with yoga.
Yeah, it's hot. And for me, I needed it because the Iyengar style was way too slow for my racy mind. And it's the most medically beneficial yoga. It's extremely detoxifying and works all the organs very evenly. Bishnu Ghosh, who actually taught Bikram, is just an amazing medical intuitive himself.
And so it's more focused on the physical, though.
Totally
enough,
physical.
Yeah, it's very
totally physical.
It's a lot different than, it's less of a contemplative style and more of a kind of get your body healthy type of yoga.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great place to start.
Yeah, there's something about yoga so the physicality of it, at the same time, you cannot separate out the fact that it's affecting you on all other levels. Mm-hmm. Now, you might be doing it in a context of fitness, but ultimately it's preparing the ground for subtler perception and transformation.
So on that note, I think we'll go ahead and take a short break, and we'll be back. You're listening to Bridge to Everywhere, and we're interviewing Antika Libby, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Radio Free Palmer, KVRF 89.5. If you'd like to get involved with community radio, contact us at radiofreepalmer.org. This is your chance to invent community radio in Sutton, Butte, Chickaloon, Palmer, and the surrounding areas. Big Cabbage Radio!
Downtown Delhi. Palmer Downtown Delhi provides free Wi-Fi in an informal, casual, conversational environment, or for just individual solace. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner dishes, wraps, specialty sandwiches, soups, or desserts, including gelato Italian ice cream, are offered along with coffee, espresso, tea, specialty waters, or drinks. Music Arts Performing Live can be enjoyed every Saturday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. A comprehensive summary of Palmer Downtown Deli's menu options can be found at palmerdeli.com, and phone orders at 745-4100 are available as well. The Palmer Downtown Deli is located on South Alaska Street. The Palmer Downtown Deli, supporting community connectivity and community radio.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Samantha Berg, and I'm here with Kevin Middleton and Antika Libby. And Antika Libby is a personal transformational coach, and she's owner of Divinely You. And we're talking about her personal journey, how she got here, and how she's started doing what she's been doing. And the last we were speaking to her was about her experience with Bikram yoga. So I just want to finish up with that. So you did Bikram's 9-week course, and then you came back to Alaska and opened up Twist Yoga, or was there a little bit of lag time?
No, I stayed in San Francisco and Marin County and Mill Valley in New York, and Boulder and Seattle. I taught there for a while. Then I met my husband. Mm-hmm. Then we moved up here, and Jake knew that I wanted to own my own studio. And so I taught at a couple studios, or one studio. There was only one here before, and the gym. And then we found a little space, and voila, I opened up the studio. Yeah.
You know, what you're doing, I think, is very powerful. And I think that, you know, in our work with Chinese medicine, there's a fundamental principle. It's the science. The medicine itself is the science of integrity. And so integrity carries great meaning. It's that our thoughts, our speech, and our action are really lined up with what we know to be true. And if we do that, and of course everybody knows, you know, eating well, you know things in moderation, sleeping well, you know, basically taking good care of your body, exercise. I mean, we all know the basis of self-care, and we also know, you know, behaving well and behaving virtuously and well, you know, just taking care of ourselves and each other and really seeing each other as not adversaries that we need to dominate, but actually collaborators to create something together while we're here on this beautiful earth. Mm-hmm. And so if we live according to that, guess what? You know, by and large, we're going to be really vital. We're going to be alive. We're going to feel great. And so the science of integrity is really about, to what degree are we deviating? It's, you know, in this complex world, there's a lot of competing, for our attention. Are we really training ourselves to stay aligned, to stay true, and with what we know to be true at a deep, deep level? And so what you're offering is very powerful, and it's very needed. And in a culture that is highly materialistic, that where we're brought up through a system that says you will find completion in an object, in things, in affirmations of others. Women are brought up through a culture where they are objects of affection and, you know, looking for completion through the eyes of another. And so they're constantly looking, you know, through at the reflection through someone else's eyes as if that's going to validate and give meaning. Mm-hmm. And what you're actually offering is you're saying no, there's something way more profound at stake here, something much, much deeper to mine as we're going into the transformational field. And in the wellness market, place. It's very superficial right now.
Well, often you hear the phrase follow your heart, and people think but that's not the same as follow God. Follow your heart is often, you know, just like based on your conditioning, you know, your gender conditioning, your family conditioning, whatever your religious background is, whatever culture you grew up, what you think you're supposed to want and need. And so that when you're following your heart, often it's based on your fears or your desires.
Tells me I need a new car.
Right. Yeah. I really want to be in a relationship with this person, or I really want to have this, or I really want to have that. So it is very superficial, and it's not really, doesn't really get you home to what it is that you're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's like in order to define what it is that you're here to do, you have to be willing to give up certain things. It's not about getting what you want necessarily. It's about letting go, and it's about surrendering, and it's trying to sort out, like, okay, is this the voice, what voice is this that's speaking to me? You know, like, I want to listen to this one, but most people generally know, like, when we check in with people, I mean, most people really often know the truth, and they know that they're turning their back on the truth. So we want to talk a little bit about, like, how did you get to where you're at that place where you're able to even listen to that voice that was
absolutely
speaking truth?
One is, you know, I do, and have been able to hear that voice as a different voice since I was a small kid. So one is just partly like God's been after me, you know, and God followed me through different religions, through a lot of anger, you know, like different courses of study. But there was always, I've been able to really differentiate that voice in me. Now, the problem for me and many of my clients is that we have those societies, like once, what we should do, how we should think, what shoulds, all these shoulds, okay? And
what the traditional definition of success even, I mean, a lot of people are beholden to that too, right? I mean, what it's supposed to look like, you know, as right. a woman in this culture, as a male in this culture, what that looks like. And those are forces to be reckoned with. Until you recognize that they're driving you, you could be living a life that's just basically dictated by your culture and you haven't even really thought about it.
Right.
So that's really
consciousness,
mm-hmm. yep.
you know? So what my programs really teach is that part of that consciousness, your unique consciousness, is in your bones and in your muscles and in that soft tissue. And when you're doing movements, no matter what it is, some people get the same amazing experience going for long runs. Now, I just can't run that long. It's never, never been able to do it. I'm like, gosh, I wish I had your shape, everything. But I, you know, they can get that same meditative state of contemplation, but the body goes and you'll have a pain in your hip and you think, oh, this is about my hip or this is about my shoulder, but really it's like your mom's mom hurt her hip. You know, it could be like anything. Some random story. You got hit by a car, yeah, but it wasn't the car actually that hurt you. That car hit. It was actually the emotional, oh my goodness, flash of your life. And so your hip heals and that emotional flash stays. And when you go in and you have a relationship with your body, because you are to your body like God is to you, and you ask your body, what is this intelligence? You take the time to get to know your body each day because it's always changing. I mean, science says every 70 days now all of our cells change. I mean, it used to be 7 years. Now it's 70 days. Who knows?
Well, that's new. I actually
really?
Heard 7 years.
Really?
For all the cells to turn over. Now they're saying 70 days.
Now they're saying 70 days.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, this is pretty incredible. And then science is also telling us how much our thoughts matter. And how much our thoughts have to do with all of these beliefs. And so the beliefs get stuck in your anatomy, your physical body.
Is it the thoughts or the weight that we give the thoughts? Because I just kind of wonder about that.
That's how we would characterize it. It's
right.
the extent to which, we would say it's the extent to which you personalize the thoughts.
Because, or believe them or get involved
or
with
them.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's the belief in them.
Because anger, like is for an example, a lot of people think, oh, anger is bad. But it's just an energetic movement. It's like, I mean, in Chinese medicine, it's wind. it's just something that blows
through.
I love
to say, you know, true anger is not bad because it's not directed with fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fear for me is like when we sense fear, and I sense fear all the time, but when we sense fear, I feel it in my body. I know what it feels like because of my practice, my yoga practice, and what I walk my clients through is to get to know their body so they can feel yes, so they can feel things that are no, so they can feel truth, so they can feel like what's really happening. Your body is like God's gift for you to have an intuitive message system.
Body doesn't lie. I mean, it will tell you the truth about what you're doing that it doesn't want you to do anymore, you know, and then, you know, we'll find every other way to interpret it other than that. And then finally we're brought to our knees and then we're like, oh, I better stop doing that, you know.
Right. And we usually know ahead of time. And that's where really the vibration or the thought goes to. And you know, the monks, the saints, the Bible, any text, you know, says, control your mind. Your body is a sacrifice. Control your mind. And your mind is really where spirit and your body meet, you know? And so where you put your thoughts are extremely important. And I totally go down rabbit holes myself and swirl around in them and then have to, like, you know, learn from them. But ultimately, it's like every day, okay, I'm going to wash myself clean, and it's not me doing the washing, it's like me saying, okay, God, I surrender, wash me clean, and then God, I'm going to focus my mind on you. And so God, any religion is love, kindness, patience, those positive higher vibrations. Even science, you know, the vibration, like on the metrodome thing, whatever it's called, you know, says that those actually vibrate higher than things like resentment and shame and fear and hopelessness. They're lower. So our vitality, our health is higher. Plus, what you give is what you get. So all of the universal laws like polarity and law of attraction and, you know, all the popular ones right now, and on all the regular ones, just the earth law and gravity, you know, work more fluidly when we are working more fluidly. So if you are willing to see what's trapped in your body and hand that over to God, willing to see what's trapped in your mind and your beliefs and hand that over, and really form a relationship knowing that you are a child of the divine, then I think ultimate health and, you know, joy is what comes from it. And joy isn't like, oh, my life is dandy. Like, we still live in this world of, you know, life
right.
where things bounce off and reflect.
The joy is not necessarily, oh, I'm going to get the goodies, you know, oh, I'm going
right.
to get, you know, I'm going to get all the things that my heart's content. But maybe it's more that a deep contentedness that's uncaused, that it's actually opening up to something
and
that's already
the
there.
Eyes open to the miracles. Like,
yeah.
then you can see, like, oh, well, there's, you know, God and Sam, even more than a couple years ago. Like, I just walk around now and I'm just like, oh, wow, I just love people. I do things like love drops, where I walk through the supermarket and I literally picture drops of, like, love, like rain, like falling on people. And people,
where,
like,
are you going to Cars next? Are you going to Fred Meyer?
Fred Meyer, baby! No, but
Antique is going to be offering love.
But they, I do it all over town, even in Cars. It's kind of dangerous in Cars, though. I've almost gotten a wreck. But and I watch these people just brighten up. I've
yeah.
done it. I mean, and so what we think, where we put our energy, our blessings, like God says, bless, you know, bless everybody, bless each other. How you lift people up. A lot of people get really dragged down or drag each other down. And this type of training helps you to not only lift yourself up, but lift everyone up around you and not settle for any less.
And not to bring in another religion, but I will. In Sufism, I know they talk about qualities of God. So, like, and so each one of those qualities, you know, and, you know, like love and peace and kindness
yeah.
and forgiveness and all that. So that in the process of meditating on those different qualities, that's what you're bringing into your heart. And that's mm-hmm. what you're also putting out into the world. So
mm-hmm.
where you choose to put your mind, I mean, I think there's a process, though, between realizing that everybody has a crazy mind. You know, all of our minds just go everywhere. And then realizing that, you know, after a while, that there is some part of us that can choose. Just because the mind's going crazy, there's something in there that can choose where to put our attention, no matter what the mind's doing.
Right.
So we can still choose to put our attention on those qualities that we want to bring into our lives mm-hmm. and the lives of others, and focus on the positive.
And
we
have to choose,
right.
or it won't work.
Right.
We just run around.
Well, and a lot of people can
well
walk
said,
around
yeah.
in victimhood, where it's just like, oh, you know, my crazy mind, I'm a victim of all the stuff that's going on in my head.
Oh, I could have ended up mm-hmm. there like 100 times.
Right. But the mind is just, as one of our favorite speakers, Father Christopher Stanton
yeah.
says, the mind is just a tool. It doesn't really care where, mm-hmm. it's like a mm-hmm. shovel is just a tool. It doesn't care where it's digging, but you care. So, you know, the shovel can be digging on concrete, or the
yep.
shovel can be digging in dirt. It's the same thing for the mind. The mind,
and that's
the mind
why
is
I call
just a tool.
The body and the mind, or the vibe. Okay, because it goes beyond just the mind. Like, because what you think about, what you put your mind on, is actually what you radiate,
mm-hmm.
what other people feel and what they see. So you can just think about a person walking into a room that's been upset. Like, they just walked in the party and the whole party goes, oh, you tighten
up. You kind
of
notice, yeah, you kind of
mm-hmm.
see a difference. Or,
and when
yeah,
somebody walks yeah. in and they're elated or really optimistic, you see that opening and you're more willing to share. And so you can choose which type of vibe you want to give out, and a lot of that stems from the mind and the thoughts, and then it goes beyond that into your seed and your soul, and ultimately, you know, going even deeper, the body and the mind are just tools. Like, we are one with the divine. It's always that, like, if you go to the core of any teaching, like,
right.
we are one with the divine.
We're
brothers and sisters
that.
With Christ, right?
Right?
We have forgotten.
And we just need to remember what the truth that's already there.
Yeah.
You know, there's something else that, I mean, Samantha said this the other day. She goes, Kevin, an infinite amount of time is going to pass after your death. An infinite amount. So imagine that. So if
infinity has kind of already happened, and after we die, there's going to be just more infinity. It's going to be forever.
And when you really put your personal problems and qualms and all
in
these
context.
Things in that context, you know, how much weight can we? I mean, there's real problems. You know, real problems, and maybe those become given their proper place. But a lot of the smaller stuff can just vanish in an instant when you really take a look at it. And then if you take a look at the life that we're living is, I mean, there's never been a class of human beings on this planet, not alive. I mean, 7 billion people on the planet alive today, most people mm-hmm. listening to this broadcast are amongst the most privileged. I mean, there's never been a class of people on this face of this earth that have the kind of social, political, religious freedoms and the educational opportunities and the food and all mm-hmm. things like that. So if we really put, you know, we put our own personal transformation in this incredible, miraculous context in which we live, in a time where there's never been a time when one person can make a greater impact than right now, the time that we live, because of technology and the capacity to connect with other people, like-minded people. So if we wake up to this sort of amazing time of our lives, you know, this small, oh, I've just got these problems, oh, I really got to work, I got to workshop this one through. You know, it's like it really starts to look smaller and smaller and smaller, and you say, wow, there's no time for that. There's no time for that.
Or waiting for someone else to give you an affirmation, or waiting for that, you know, like walking into a room and looking for the other person who's going to open their heart to you rather than just walking in the room with the open heart, you know. And that it's funny that we sort of hang back and wait rather than, I mean, we joke about there's a type of person who's just, they're 80 degrees and sunny all the time. You know, that you just can count on that's what you're going to get no matter what. That's
like Sam.
Right. Right.
That means, you know,
you can trust that.
Yeah.
And so when you have that, you know, when you have that trust that you know that that's what you're going to get from that person consistently, it's a different relationship than when you're like, ooh, who am I going to get today? You know, am I going to get the witch? Am I going to get the moody Sam? Am I going to get the, you know, am I going to get the tired, exhausted? Like, what am I going to get? But when you know that there's a trust that builds, and there's something that can happen between two people or a group of people. When everybody's in agreement that no matter what's going on, it's like, it's my job to show up 80 degrees and sunny. That's just what I do. That's my job. That's who I am.
I've never had that job. That'd be a good job to pick up.
But speaking of jobs, I really want to give folks an idea of what it's like to be in your process. And maybe you can step us through a little bit of how you would work with somebody that just really wants to make some changes. Maybe there's some dietary issues. Maybe there's some physical challenges, some pain conditions, chronic illness. Maybe just walk through the process and give them a sense of how that would be.
Well, I'm going to walk you through the whole process, and each of my processes come together as like a click unit, like a puzzle.
And to know that you have 11 minutes to walk us through your whole process, so so you got the timing.
So really it's a 9-week course, and in Divine in 9, we spend the first 2 weeks doing the hot yoga and really detoxing the body, you getting to know your body. It's, you know, setting goals, kind of setting your mind on things that you absolutely love, and it's a time to just start feeling better and get to know yourself again. And just reevaluate, because we need to do that. And then the next 2 weeks are really Breeze, and Breeze is a vinyasa, so it's really about strengthening.
And vinyasa is we talked to some yoga teachers a few weeks back, so it's a flow style of yoga where you're moving through different postures. You're not holding postures.
Right. So you're focusing on your breath, and we start really working with mantra, so fixing your breath and a particular thought. And I teach to think directly to God, and we use the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So you're really taking one breath for each of your Trinity too. And it's kind of like this awesome prayer while you're strengthening the whole core. And then the next week, week 5, is about breaking out of the box. So really developing your own relationship with Source, with God, with your workout, with your nutrition. And I work nutrition in the entire time because I think it's extremely valid and underappreciated. And then the next 2 weeks is really about the meditation. So we get into the Kundalini yoga, the Iyengar yoga, the restorative, talking to your hips, talking to your back, talking to your neck, those chronic areas, falling back in love with your sexuality and your sensuality. Just fantastic. Just opening, awesome things happen in that week. Then the next 2 weeks is really about fun and tying it all together so you can continue living, you know, and work it into your daily practice and make your Trinity approach to living your own. And what it does ultimately is people get happier, relationships get healed. I save marriages all the time. I don't know how that happens because it's not a marriage course, but it's pretty much universal. And people just feel more comfortable in their skin. And they lose weight.
Relationship problems
too.
Are very rarely the other person's problem. Yeah. So it would make sense that after going through this 9-week program that you would have a different relationship, even if your partner wasn't actually doing this work.
Yeah, absolutely. And the whole thing is really based on the concept of surrender. So learning how to listen to God with your body, listen to God with your vibration, and set your focus on God so then you can live out your destiny. And people walk away knowing their purpose and feeling extremely confident about that.
And do you see the difference in their physical posture changing and how they hold
Absolutely.
Their body as they go through the program?
Absolutely. And it's all online. Like now the program is all, you know, course online. You get 1 week at a time. It's awesome and it works. And then I have a nutrition course and just the mindset course as well.
What's the mindset course?
It's called the Joy Club, and it teaches basically contemplation, forgiveness exercises. We move all the crud out of the way. We work with the Holy Spirit and just have him move the crud out of the way and learn a little bit about mindfulness and focus. And I teach a meditation I've been doing since I was a little girl called the Sacred Heart Meditation. And you just go into your sacred room in your heart and hang out with your soul, and it's extremely transformational.
And tell us, what is Hugs?
Hugs is Hearts Uniting God's Spirit. So it is a radio show that I put on each Friday. And now it's a TV radio thing. And you can find it at fithappychristians.com. And then there's a little thing called Hugs. And we just talk right. This season is all about God's miracles.
So, and you work with Divinely You, you work with a fair number of people who are abuse survivors, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell, I mean, that's a really challenging subset of
and
people.
And the statistics
to work with.
Are quite shocking, and especially in the state of Alaska. I think it's,
I think the highest
as a survivor,
spousal or child abuse in this state.
Yeah, as a survivor, both just your own confidence, and yoga builds a lot of self-confidence, and getting back in your body. Literally, your spirit leaves mm-hmm. your body. So I help get them back in their body. And
it's
then
safety,
we have a safety thing. Yeah. And when you're in your body, you have more power to stand your own ground, like literally. And then we also, I do coaching. So the transformational coaching is where I'd work with them. So my other programs you can do with me coaching you or just by themselves online. They're just available. But I work with a lot of people that have walked through abuse or any sort of trauma with transformational coaching. And it's mainly not really coaching. It's more like prayer. Hmm. We do deep prayer, and God does the healing and does the coaching. And since I surrendered that, that's been really a beautiful process. And yeah.
What do you mean since you surrendered that?
Since I stopped trying to solve the problems. Uh-huh. I'm not the best problem solver. I'm a great teacher.
Well, and it's up to the person to solve their problem, right?
Right.
Yeah, you're giving
right,
them
but
the
some,
tools.
You know, like some people, they're good at problem solving. Give the person some leeway. For me, I don't know. It wasn't my thing.
And so when you say it's done online, the Divinely You course, so does that mean the person is getting videos and reading materials each week that they're then following through, and then they're contact
videos,
with you?
Videos, MP3s, and mm-hmm. reading materials. Okay. And then their contact with me is like through private Facebook clubs and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then they can always call and have, you know, one-on-one coaching through it. And I think I give away one or two when they purchase just for free mm-hmm. as a bonus when they purchase the Divine in 9 course.
Mm-hmm. So how does the actual yoga instruction work in there via the from the video?
They get it audio, yeah. mm-hmm. and then I have posters, mm-hmm. so they see the pictures and posters. They get it audio, and why I do it audio is because I don't want them comparing themselves to the people on the video. Mm-hmm. And then I give each class has a pre-video mm-hmm. where I either give a mindset, mental thing to focus on, or I teach about the asana themselves and what to focus on in that class. One step at a time, you actually get more out of the practice and learning about your body than trying to learn it all at one time.
And for the folks that are local, do they ever have private lessons with you to sort of reinforce? Is that an option to reinforce the posture?
Yeah, anyone that's local, actually, I prefer to have come in. And in the 9-week course, we usually meet once a week, and they do the other 2 days on at their home. So they start developing that home practice. And then we meet once a week, and then I can see the body and what's going on, and that's really awesome.
Yeah, because I was thinking it'd be a little bit challenging with the asanas, you know, not to have the person's body so you can give them the corrections in real time when they're doing it.
It's
which
less,
is something
but it's
you're
hard
really
if somebody's
good at.
In Canada.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It is.
Sure.
I am good at it.
Right.
But it's something like people in Canada or South Africa, or I've had people in Australia, and a lot of people are following me in Pakistan. So if you're listening from Pakistan, hello. And yeah.
So the best way to get in touch with you if somebody's interested in working with you is
just
through
go
the
to
website.
My website. Yeah, fithappychristians.com.
Okay. And is Divinely You website on its own, or is it okay?
It's just it wasn't available for a website. So Divinely You is the company name. Divinely You, Fit Happy Christians tagline.
That's great.
Awesome.
Yeah, in the yoga classes that we've taken with you, I've always been struck by your intuitive perception in the room. There might be 10 people in the room, there might be 5 people in the room, but you seem to have simultaneously an awareness of everyone in the room and the just micro adjustments you have in their postures and their movements. You seem to be dialed in. It's an incredible gift. And you're also a real, you are a challenging teacher in the best of ways. You really seem to know where the edge is now, like where is the opening for this person now, and you can take people to that edge and then let sort of nature take its course from there.
So in the last, I think we've got about a minute, and so what I just want to do is I'm thinking that there might be some person out there who's suffering, maybe it's an abuse victim or somebody who just needs the kind of help that you have to offer, mm-hmm. and they're not really sure about, what's going to happen if I do this. Is there anything that you would say to that person, somebody who is maybe in the place where you were back when you were in your early 20s and not knowing where to turn? What would you say to that person to let them know that there's hope and that things can change?
First, the answer's in you. Don't be scared of yourself. God does not make mistakes. You're awesome and amazing. And tell yourself that. Write it on the walls. Tell yourself that, because you're not going to believe it for a while, or you might not. And then look into the Joy Club. I made it extremely affordable, and it will really walk you in through a process where mentally you can just fall in love with yourself again and reground. And if you'd like to, just give me a call, shoot me an email, Facebook me, and I'd be happy to just talk to you.
Okay, and do you have a Facebook page for Fit Happy Christians?
Yep, exactly that, Fit Happy Christians.
Okay, you're listening to Antika Levy, personal transformation coach. FitHappyChristians.com is her website. Follow up with her, or you can come to our website or to our Facebook page, Britcha Everywhere, and we'll have some information there.
And next week, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Stacy Lowe. She's a chiropractor in Wasilla, and we'll be talking about pregnant moms and babies and kids and working with chiropractic. So please join us next Monday night.
She adjusts all my kids.
She's wonderful, so we can't wait to have her. Thank you very much for joining us this evening.
And thanks, Antika.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you for joining us on the Bridge to Everywhere, broadcasting on KVRF 89.5 Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. Like us on Facebook at Bridge to Everywhere to access more information, links and resources from our guests and show topics.